Freight Dispatcher Training Guide, 2020 edition. Introduction. What are the responsibilities of a truck dispatcher? The trucking industry relies on many working parts to complete a delivery safely and on time. The role of a truck dispatcher is an important one within the trucking industry. In general, a dispatcher schedules drivers to pick up and deliver loads to customers or vendors. But their responsibilities are much broader than that, since there are many steps in this process to ensure deliveries arrive safely and on time. They act as the go-between customers and drivers, keeping records, monitoring logs, and handling equipment availability. The Chronicle states, "Dispatchers are the backbone of the trucking industry, helping truck drivers concentrate on routes and roadways and securely deliver their cargoes." What are the responsibilities of a truck dispatcher? Balance responsibilities. Each day presents a new array of challenges, and the dispatcher is responsible for resolving them quickly and efficiently. This action isn't just beneficial for their drivers, but it also protects the company from missed opportunities or delays. Acute attention to detail and the ability to work under highly stressful situations is essential when your primary goal is to get the best results possible. Accommodating the client and ensuring driver safety requires a balancing act. A dispatcher has to feel comfortable with managing multiple tasks and know how to prioritize when a decision needs to be made quickly. Be one step ahead. Especially these days, keeping the driver's health and safety in mind while meeting the requirements of the customer is a tough job. Every state has different rules in relation to health and safety. The primary goal of every truck driver is to get their delivery to the destination on time. The long hours require a different focus, and the dispatcher helps by utilizing technology to manage loads, assist with fuel efficiency, and check for potential weather issues. Avoiding setbacks requires foresight and staying on your toes. Provide value to the drivers. To achieve success, dispatchers have to rely heavily on the truck drivers to not only transport product from point A to point B, but to communicate any issues they might encounter along the way. Developing a working relationship with the driver helps a dispatcher identify issues before they become challenges that halt the progress of the delivery. Some challenges are uncontrollable, for example, the weather. Other times it's understanding how your driver operates. For a truck driver, the hours are long, and they are often away from home for several days at a time. Taking stock of how fresh the drivers feel and their ability to complete the task will allow the product to move efficiently. Plan for weather delays. Weather accounts for a great majority of delays for shipments, and the U.S. Department of Transportation provided the following statistics highlighting potential challenges for truckers and the dispatch. Each year, trucking companies lose an estimated 32.6 billion vehicle hours due to weather-related congestion in 281 of the nation's metropolitan areas. Nearly 12% of total estimated truck delay is due to weather in the 20 cities with the greatest volume of truck traffic. The estimated cost of weather-related delay to trucking companies ranges from $2.2 billion to $3.5 billion annually. Maintain a relationship with the customers. The responsibility of the dispatcher doesn't start and stop with the truck driver, it also involves keeping the client happy. When you are in the business of helping other businesses, you need to find solutions to their ever-changing problems such as time frame, budget, and capacity. Direct communication with the customers develops trust that is essential when you need to navigate quick changes. To get the most out of the drivers you work with, treat them as partners and you both will see the fruits of a successful partnership. Optimize. Oftentimes less is more. A dispatcher works to save the driver time and customer money. Each day the dispatcher manages the progress of current loads and locates opportunities to consolidate deliveries. Sending two drivers to the same location costs a lot of time and wastes money. Identifying opportunities to reduce travel time helps the customer with cost, the driver to deliver in a timely fashion, and the dispatcher with time management. There are a few ways dispatchers work to build a perfect load. Consolidate by allocating items to a container to maximize the available space. Optimize cost by reducing unnecessary expenditures before a delivery hits the road. Find ways to collaborate with outside sources to complete operations. Comply with loading and unloading regulations. Be nimble. Transporting goods is a 24-hour service, which means problems can happen around the clock. Drivers encounter obstacles daily, and the dispatcher has to work to find quick solutions. These problems could be a breakdown, sickness, or a customer changing their mind on load size or time frame. Regardless, The dispatcher needs to look at the bigger picture while making decisions to prevent costly delays. This could be reassigning different loads when a driver is unavailable to complete the task, or keeping the customer informed of the delivery status through constant communication. Freight dispatcher versus broker. What is the difference? When it comes to finding freight in the trucking industry, motor carriers have several options. Load boards, freight brokers, and dispatchers dominate the industry. If you do not have time to search through the load boards yourself, then you are probably thinking of using a freight broker or a dispatcher. Both work as intermediaries between shippers and the trucking company, but which one is best for your business? What is a freight broker? Freight brokering is when a broker agent works with both shipping companies and carriers and serve as the middleman. Many freight brokers pick up their profit by negotiating rates with shippers and negotiating a different rate with owner-operators. The difference between the two rates is the freight broker's commission. As a result, freight brokers are motivated to encourage shippers to pay high rates while offering carriers a rate that helps them make a profit. If you do not have good negotiation skills, knowledge of pay rates in certain lanes, and know your operating cost when dealing with a freight broker, it is easy to accept loads that can sink your business. It is important to be very selective when choosing a broker. Some are more motivated by profit than others. If the freight broker also offers quick pay, they take another percentage from the carrier's agreed-upon rate. Example: X shipper has an open load and reach out to Y broker to find them a carrier. X shipper and Y broker agree on a rate $2,000. Y broker then reaches out to ABC Trucking about the open load. Y broker is not required to disclose the originally negotiated amount to ABC Trucking. As a result, ABC Trucking agrees haul the load for $1,600. Y broker keeps the $400 difference as commission. ABC Trucking also uses Y broker's quick pay option, which takes 2% out of the $1,600. The end result is ABC Trucking receives $1,568 for a load originally negotiated for $2,000. Y broker makes $432. What is a truck dispatcher? Dispatchers represent the carrier when negotiating freight. They take a percentage off the carrier's negotiated rate, so they are motivated to find carriers high-paying freight. The higher the rate they can find for the carrier, the more money they make. Good dispatchers will keep portfolios with their carrier's lane preferences, desired freight rates, and equipment specifications. Using this information, the dispatcher then contacts the shippers or freight broker on the carrier's behalf to negotiate loads that meet the carrier's requirements. Only after a load is agreed upon does the dispatcher charge the carrier a fee for the service. Also note, if the carrier uses factoring, many dispatchers will create and submit invoices to the factor on the carrier's behalf. However, all dispatchers are not created equal, as some will charge additional fees or make you book a monthly minimum. As always, be sure to ask those questions before hiring a dispatcher or signing a contract. Example. Let's continue with the example above. X shipper agreed on a rate of $2,000 with Y broker. However, this time instead of using Y broker directly, ABC Trucking is using Z dispatcher to find freight. Z dispatcher knows ABC Trucking needs to make at least $1,600 on the load to stay in business, and also has knowledge of what each load should pay. Z dispatcher contacts Y broker about the open load. Y broker offers the load at $1,600, but Z dispatcher declines the offer. The two negotiate until Y broker agrees to a $1,800 rate. Z dispatcher contacts ABC Trucking about the load and ABC Trucking agrees to haul it. Z dispatcher charges ABC Trucking a 5% fee. When everything is done, ABC Trucking pockets $1,710, Z freight dispatcher makes $90, and Y broker receives $200. ABC Trucking also uses Y broker's quick pay option, which takes 2% out of the $1,600. The end result is ABC Trucking receives $1,568 for a load originally negotiated for $2,000. Y broker makes $432. Freight brokers tend to have close relationships with shippers, so they are convenient to use. However, they make more money by offering carriers lower rates. Their goal is to find the fine balance between offering carriers lower rates while also enticing carriers to continue taking loads directly from them. Some brokers are better to work with than others. Dispatchers work closely with carriers to find them the best freight rates. However, most dispatchers work with freight brokers or load boards to find freight. If you find one that works directly with a shipper, that's great. Remember, dispatchers do not make money unless you do, So a dispatcher's goal is to negotiate the highest paying freight possible. How to become a work-from-home dispatcher? The role of a work-from-home dispatcher is just as important in the $700 billion logistics and trucking industry as their office-based dispatch counterparts. Dispatchers find freight for trucking companies to transport. While the job may look similar to customer support jobs, dispatchers actually have more tasks to fulfill. They are in constant communication and negotiation between the driver, broker, trucking company, shipper, receiver, and other parties involved in freight logistics. A day in the life of a home-based dispatcher. A work-from-home dispatcher may be miles away or across the world, but he or she can manage a group of truck drivers via phone. Dispatchers are experts in spreadsheets, real-time maps, and Skype or other messaging platforms. As a truck dispatcher, your day would likely involve tasks such as finding loads/freight and negotiate rates with brokers. This is the main job of truck dispatchers. They find freights to keep trucking companies busy and make sure the rates are agreeable to all parties. Dispatchers may also be responsible for checking creditworthiness of suppliers. Arranging package pickups and deliveries. If you already have customers and would no longer need to find packages every day, your job would likely revolve around arranging pickup, deliveries and other handling concerns. Picking out the best routes for drivers. Because you are the one scheduling all the logistics of a delivery, you'll also determine the best routes for truck drivers to reach their destinations safely and on time. Managing daily schedule of drivers. Sometimes, cancellations occur. Bad weather conditions make it impossible to reach destinations. Or other instances where unscheduled deliveries may have to be rescheduled. During these instances, the job of a dispatcher is to update drivers throughout the day to save gas and other resources. Conducting team meetings. As a work-from-home dispatcher, you may be far from your team, but you're going to serve as the leader to all drivers. Logging records. At the end of the day, what you're doing is part of a larger trucking and logistics business. Ensuring the drivers log their schedules, incidents, route changes, and other details of the trip is just as important. Generating invoices. You've negotiated on fees between all parties involved, so it's only fitting that you handle the invoicing as well. Keeping up to date with weather conditions. As I explained earlier, you need to be on top of things that could affect the schedule of deliveries. Generally speaking, a trucking dispatcher must decide on the most efficient and most cost-effective loads for all the trucks on the team. How much do dispatchers get paid? Trucking dispatchers are non-emergency. The emergency dispatchers take care of distress calls and work with emergency services like ambulance, fire department or police. The rates of emergency dispatchers are higher, about $18 an hour, while trucking dispatchers who are employed with a company earn around $1.15/hour. A freelancer dispatcher is paid with commissions either prepaid or by the number of loads/freight/job closed within a week. On average, a dispatcher could handle around 3 to 5 trucks at a time, with each truck bringing you in an average income of $1,000 per month, so that's around $3,000 to $5,000 monthly. This is the main reason why many prefer independent truck dispatcher jobs than being tied to just one company. How to start a dispatching home business? The trucking and logistics industry has many players. As a dispatcher, you play only one of the several important roles. As such, when you decide to launch a dispatching home business, you should know the ins and outs of this role already. You also need the following. Dispatcher training. Experience is important, but the training you are taking will help you hit the ground running and hopefully get you a leg up on the competition. A small office. Ideally, your office should have a computer, internet, printer, fax machine, and a landline. Ideally, the office should be in a quiet environment, so you could answer and make calls without any issues. Dispatching software. This can be a lifesaver when organizing invoices, names, schedules, shipping information, and so on. It also keeps records of past transactions, help in keeping tabs on payments made. Employer Identification Number (EIN). All businesses in the U.S. require an EIN from the IRS. Get paperwork, write contracts, so all transactions you do are documented. Pick a business structure, LLC, sole proprietorship, etc. that you think is most suitable for your business. Create a marketing plan. Are you taking this business to the next level? Craft a marketing plan that will outline how you're going to promote your dispatching services. Truck dispatching is definitely more complicated than call center jobs, or other ways to make money off your phone. In fact, Dispatching is a high-paced position. You must be able to work under pressure gracefully. This is probably the most important characteristic of dispatchers because burnout in this field is very real. Being a work-from-home dispatcher does not make the job any easier. There is a lot that is required of a dispatcher. First, your communication and negotiation skills must be top-notch since your goal is to always find the middle ground with other players of the trucking/logistics industry. Second, you should be highly organized, expert in spreadsheets, good with numbers, and have leadership skills. Requirements for all dispatchers. Your first step when thinking about getting into any business, especially transportation, is to check your local business registration/license issues and insurance coverage needs. As a dispatch service, you need to have an agreement for services with a carrier that would have to grant you, via power of attorney, the permission to negotiate and do business on their behalf. The arrangement can vary, but your business needs to ideally be listed as a certificate holder on the carrier's insurance policy, or you need to be directly employed by the carrier and forego having your own dispatch business. Without the power of attorney, you cannot legally represent a carrier to a broker or shipper, and should you try, there is always the chance your actions to do so could be considered fraud, since the MC number and DOT number are issued by the FMSCA directly to the carrier strictly for the use of the carrier, and without express written agreement you have no right to use any carrier's registrant numbers or profile. This is the situation that unfortunately gives dispatching a bad name. Another issue that arises with new dispatch companies is that they believe they do not have to have insurance. This is again where the agreement is important, that will show whether you are covered under the carrier agreement or they agree not to hold you responsible. In reality, neither exempts you from being liable in the event of certain circumstances. Your personal liability insurance also may not cover you. Again, this is research that should be done with your state before starting your dispatch company. Records, rules, and accounting. A dispatcher shall keep a record of each transaction. For purposes of this section, dispatchers may keep master database lists of consigners and the address and registration number of the carrier, rather than repeating this information for each transaction. The record shall show the name and address of the consigner, the name, address, and registration number of the originating motor carrier, the bill of lading or freight bill number, the amount of compensation received by the dispatcher for the dispatching service performed in the name of the payer, a description of any non-dispatcher service performed in connection with each shipment or other activity, the amount of compensation received for the service, and the name of the payer, and the amount of any freight charges collected by the dispatcher and the date of payment to the carrier. Dispatchers shall keep the records required by this section for a period of 3 years. Each party to a transaction has the right to review the record of the transaction required to be kept by these rules. Misrepresentation. When working as a dispatcher, you may not do business, including advertise, in any name other than the name stated on your registration or operating authority. A dispatcher shall not perform or offer to perform any brokerage service. A dispatcher shall not, indirectly or directly, represent its operations to be that of a carrier. Accounting requirements, in compliance with Regulation 49 CFR 371.13. If you operate other businesses in addition to your dispatching service, especially other transportation businesses such as motor carriers, then you must maintain your financial accounts so that revenues and expenses from your dispatching service are separate from those of the other businesses. If your dispatching service and the other businesses share common expenses, then your records must show which expenses belong to the dispatching service. Doing business only with motor carriers having valid used at numbers and operating authority. 49 CFR 371.105. As a dispatcher, you may do business only with a motor carrier that has a valid used at number and valid household goods motor carrier authority. You may not arrange transportation with motor carriers having only property motor carrier authority or household goods authority that is under suspension or has been revoked. You are encouraged to regularly verify the authority status of motor carriers that you do business with. You can check the status of a motor carrier's operating authority by going to the FMCSA licensing and insurance website at http://leepublic.fmcsa.gov. When you arrive at that website, click Continue at the bottom. On the next webpage, click Choose Menu option in the upper right corner. When the drop-down menu appears, click Carrier Search. On the next webpage, enter the motor carrier's used it or MC number and click Search. You will see the results of your search, provided that the motor carrier is registered with FMCSA. If the carrier you are searching for appears, then choose either HTML or PDF to get a status report. http://safer.fmcsa.gov/company-snapshot.asks. Starting your truck dispatch service. Things to know before you start. First thing to start up the business professionally is to decide the form of business and giving it a name. Incorporation is not mandatory but recommended. Other forms that can be well considered are the sole proprietorship, partnership, subchapter S corporation and the limited liability company LLC. Incorporation can be easily processed without hiring an attorney. You can search for the articles of incorporation over the internet. They are not more than 2 pages in length. The federal identification number fine is needed for incorporation or partnership businesses. You need to apply to get the fine. However, for sole proprietors, social security number is sufficient for completing the paperwork. Forms of business you can consider for your dispatching service business. 1. Incorporation. 2. Proprietorship. 3. Partnership. 4. Subchapter S Corporation. 5. Limited Liability Company. 6. UCR Registration Page 9. 7. SCAT Code Registration Page 74. Regarding the selection of the business name, it can be your own name or any other name you would like your business to be called as. The name has to be unique and the dispatching service needs to inquire that the name is available and not being used by someone already. The terminology used is doing business as name or the fictitious name. A country or state level search can be done to confirm its availability. If the business you are planning is a partnership business, then it is highly recommended to work out the partnership agreement. The partnership will form an outline for the scope of functions and expectations of each of the partner. The business setup requirements for a dispatching service are very basic and inexpensive. A toll-free number is highly desirable but not essential. We recommend using Twilio and http://www.netroom.com/main-page/chrome-plugin for all your voice and SMS needs. They offer great features like click-to-call, voicemail drops and an autodialer to help you reach out to more prospects more quickly. Creating an office is quite simple as a freight dispatcher. Being a freight dispatcher is the perfect business that can be operated within the confines of your home. When you decide to increase the size of your dispatching service by adding freight agents, a true office will definitely be needed at that time. Whether you're telecommuting to your new office or working at home, running your freight, setting up your office requires some diligent thought and planning. Consideration needs to be made with thought to functionality, lighting, and ergonomics. Another important thing to remember that if you tend to take a home office deduction on your federal income tax return, there are other issues you will to be aware of. Startup requirements include 1. A personal computer. 2. High-speed internet connection, cable or DSL. 3. A telephone with Twilio and Netroom. 4. A reliable online fax service. 5. Filing cabinet. 6. Load board membership, findfreightloads.com. 7. Microsoft Office. Word and Excel, mainly. 8. Email system. Gmail or Yahoo. 9. Website. Included with Dispatch Plus course. Common equipment types. Dry van, box trailer. Freight trailers, also called dry vans or simply boxes, are designed to carry virtually any kind of boxed, crated, or palletized freight. Configurations. Standard lengths, 28, 32, 36, 40, 42, 43, 45, 48, and 53. Standard widths, 96 to 102. Maximum weight loaded, 46,000 pounds. Standard heights, 12.5, 13.5 overall. Shorter trailers are typically used for local deliveries or in tandem truck trains. Standard axle/wheel configuration, 2-axle/8-wheel. Features and options. Roll-up doors, rear swing doors. One or two side doors, roller beds. When used for produce, produce vents are added and insulated with roofs of wood, tin, or fiberglass. Reefer. Refrigerated trailer. Use. Reefers are insulated and refrigerated trailers designed to transport perishable items. Commodities transported include vegetables, fruits, milk, juices, meats and poultry configurations. Standard lengths, 28, 32, 36, 40, 48 and 53. Standard widths, 96-102. Standard heights, 12.5-13.5 overall. Shorter trailers are typically used for local deliveries or in tandem truck trains. Standard axle/wheel configuration, 2-axle/8-wheel. For heavier loads, 3-axle/12-wheel or 4-axle/1-wheel configurations are also available. Features and options: rear swing doors or roll-up doors, 1 or 2 side doors, movable bulkheads, lift gates, and temperature recording and monitoring systems, single or multi-temperature models, flatbeds and single drop decks, step decks, platform flatbed. Trailers are designed to transport oversized cargo that normally would not fit into standard freight trailers. Platform trailers are used especially for the transport of goods that must be loaded from the side or top of the trailer. Standard cargo for platform trailers includes ocean freight containers, machinery, construction equipment, lumber, plywood, steel, pipe and rebar. Variations: standard lengths, 26, 40, 42, 45, and 48. Extended lengths, 60, 65 and 70. Double drops and RGNs, removable goosenecks. Use: specialty trailers are designed to transport oversized cargo that normally would not fit onto standard freight trailers. Specialty trailers are used especially for the transport of goods that must be loaded from the top of the trailer. Standard cargo for specialty trailers includes heavy equipment, machinery, farm equipment, windmills, transformers, etc. Variations: standard lengths, 48 and 53. Extended lengths, 60, 65 and 70. Weight allotted for hauling determined by axles included on trailer and configuration. Container skeletal carrier, drayage. Container carriers are designed to transport standard international cargo containers of 2045. Some models are able to transport non-standard and oversized containers. Configurations: models designed to transport a single specific size container 20, 40, 45, etc. Models designed in adjustable zoom. Configurations to work with a range of different size standard and non-standard containers. Configuration: wheel standard, 2-axle/8-wheel. For heavy loads, 3-axle/12-wheel configurations are also available. Brackets specially designed to hold the container carrier. Tankers food grade, chemicals, petroleum. Tanker trailers are designed for the carrying of a wide range of goods fluids. Standard cargo carriers include refined gasoline, heating oil, natural gas, and acids, and industrial chemicals, caustic soda, clay and mud and cooking oils, corn syrup, orange juice, milk and other foodstuffs. Require some cargo tanker trailers specially designed fluid. For example, carriers designed to transport caustic soda and acids require some aspects and exterior paint and equipment that will withstand the effects of corrosive goods. Variations: standard lengths, 40.420.430.45, 48 and 53. Configuration: wheel standard, 2-axle/8-wheel. For heavy loads, 3-axle/12-wheel, 4-axle/16-wheel or configurations are also available. Features and options: multiple compartments 1-7, vacuum pumps, measurement equipment, insulated tanks, pressure tanks, ladders, walkways, hose carriers, belly cabinets, dry bulk trailer, hopper. Use: dry trailers is mainly used in the transportation of dry commodities such as grain, shelled corn, hulled rice, beans, gravel, limestone loose and pulverized, and sand. It is a safe transportation method and very useful for long distances. Variations: standard lengths, 26 to 42. Standard widths, 96-102. Hopper configurations, single, double and triple. Open and closed end configurations. Steel and aluminum models. There are available singles, doubles, and 3 trailer truck trains. Notes: dry bulk trailers use rolled tarpaulin tops rather than rigid tops. Typical dry bulk trailers usually use hoppers to unload, or empty conveyor systems. The international trailer manufacturers produce a variety of models that are designed for different freight configurations. Logistics van and deep drop furniture. Use: deep drop vans are designed especially for transporting large, bulky and relatively light cargo weight to volume. Deep drop vans are mainly used in the transportation of specific kinds of goods such as furniture, household and electronics. Variations. Standard lengths, 45, 48 and 53 overall. Standard heights, 13.6 inches overall. Standard widths, 96-102 overall. Rear doors, standard swing doors. Side doors, one or two side swing doors. Options and features. Using the lower rear surface to facilitate loading. Air ride suspension to protect the fragile cargo. Compartments, belly mat and ramps. Auto transport tractor trailer. Use. Trailers are used to transport auto transport cars, sports cars, small trucks. It is the movement of these goods from the former manufacturing plants to distributors, but the most common ports RoRo ships. To distributors of the interior. Auto variations. Auto transporters are produced in two general configurations. The trucks are produced cars in two models. Trailers are capable for transporting up to 9 vehicles pulled by tractor unit standard. Truck tractor is up to 3 vehicles while the trailer transports up to 6 cars. There is also a private covered car trailers that are specially made for use in the transportation of high value cars. Notes: different trailer manufacturers from all over the world produce a wide range of models that have been designed for different shipping configurations. There is a large market for private party auto transporter in the transfer of families and the transfer of specialized vehicles and high value locally and internationally as well. Dimensions, weight and capacity are the data that varies according to the requirements of cargo, manufactured goods trailers, a national model, and the state as well as the requirements of the provincial road. General guidelines. Maximum overall dimensions unpermitted. Width, 96 inches. Width, designated highways, 102 inches. Height, 13 feet, 6 inches. GVW, gross vehicle weight, 80,000 pounds. Length of semi-trailer, 53 feet. Length of semi-trailer, non-designated highway, 50 feet. Length of combination tractor-trailer, with or without load, no limitation. Units permitted in train, 2. Semi-trailers or truck and semi-trailer. Truck-tractor, semi-trailer and trailer or tractor in length of a combination of tractor, semi-trailer, and trailer or tractor and 2. Semi-trailers or truck and semi-trailer of trailer with or without load or pickup truck. Semi-trailers are designed for recreational living purposes, and additional trailer or semi-trailer, 65 feet. The semi-trailers that are longer than 50 feet shall have a wheelbase of 37 feet to 41 feet. This is measured from the kingpin coupling to the center of the axles or to the center of the tandem axle assembly in case it is equipped with two axles. Semi-trailers longer than 50 feet are limited to 3 axles and shall operate only on designated highways. The measurement of semi-trailers and trailers shall be done from the front vertical plane of the foremost transverse load supporting structure to the rearmost transverse load supporting structure. Safety and energy conservation devices are not supposed to be included in the length measurement, but not limited to impact absorbing bumpers, rear view mirrors, turn signal lamps, marker lamps, steps and handholds for entry and egress, flexible fender extensions, mud flaps or splash and suppressant devices, load-induced tire bulge, refrigeration or heating units, or air compressors. However, any device that is not designed or intended to be used in the cargo carrying shall be excluded from the length determination. Projection beyond front of vehicles, 3 feet. Overhang beyond rear vehicles, any amount is permissible as long as it doesn't exceed the legal length. However, if this overhang is 4 feet or more, then a 12-inch red square flag in the daytime and a red light or lantern at night shall be displayed on the extreme rear. The weight distribution analysis process. Position of trailer tandems. Performing a weight distribution analysis can prevent building trucks that are overloaded in normal use, causing problems for users and the equipment installer. Overloads can shorten the life of a vehicle and its components. Overloads can also prevent compliance with weight laws and federal safety standards. Sliding your trailer tandems toward the front or back of the vehicle will primarily change the weight distribution between the tractor's drive axles and the trailer tandems. Sliding the tandems can also affect the weight on the steering axle, but to a rather small degree. For the purpose of focusing exclusively on positioning the trailer tandems, we're going to ignore the minor changes to the weight of the steer axle. It's rarely a factor when deciding where to place your trailer tandems. By sliding the trailer tandems forward, you will put more weight on the trailer tandems and take weight off the tractor's drive axles. Conversely, by sliding the trailer tandems toward the rear of the trailer, you will take weight off the trailer tandems and put more weight onto the tractor's drive axles. The number one most important concept in redistributing weight across axles. Sliding the trailer tandems forward adds weight to the tandems, sliding them back removes weight from the tandems. Amount of weight moved per hole. What and why of weight distribution? Weight distribution is the amount of the total vehicle weight imposed on the ground at an axle, group of axles, or an individual wheel. The weight on a truck must be distributed on the axles to comply with the chassis manufacturer's axle ratings and weight laws. Having the correct wheelbase on the chassis and placing bodies and loads in the proper place will ensure that axles are loaded correctly. Performing a weight distribution analysis identifies the proper axle loadings before building a truck. Axle capacities are limited either by the axle capacity or legal weight limits, whichever is lower. Both trucks in Image A have a front axle rated at 12,000 pounds, limiting the weight on those axles. The rear axle on the single drive truck is limited by the axle capacity or legal weight restrictions to 20,000 pounds. The two rear axles on the tandem drive truck are limited either by axle capacities or legal weight restrictions to 17,000 pounds for each axle, or a total of 34,000 pounds for the pair of axles. The trailer tandems lock into place with a set of locking pins that slide into holes drilled into the tandem slider rail. You can see the holes in the slider rail in the picture to the left. Click to enlarge. The distance between the locking pin holes on the trailer will be the main factor affecting how much weight is moved per hole. This distance varies between the different trailer manufacturers, and the larger the distance between the holes, the more weight will be shifted with each hole. The two main hole spacings you'll find are 4 inches and 6 inches. You can estimate that you will move 250 pounds per hole for 4-inch spacing, and 400 pounds per hole for 6-inch spacing. This will help you estimate how many holes you'll have to slide the trailer tandems to move the proper amount of weight necessary in order to get the axle weights legal. Again, we're assuming the weight won't change on the steer axles for these examples, but in reality it might change a little bit. Most of the time the change in weight of the steer axle will have little or no effect on where you'll put the trailer tandems. The weight on the steering axle is significantly altered by the amount of fuel you have in the position of your fifth wheel. Calculate the weight distribution of a vehicle using the following steps. 1. Determine the weight and center of gravity location for all of the components and items to be considered. 2. Multiply the center of gravity distance times the weight to get the moment for each component and item. 3. Add all of the moments and divide by the wheelbase to get the weight on the rear axle. 4. Subtract the rear axle weight from the total weight to get the front axle weight. AB. Center of front axle to back of cab. AF. After frame. The distance from the center of the back axle to the rear end of the chassis frame. BA. Bumper to axle. BL. Body length. Overall length of the body. CA. Cab to axle. Distance from back of the cab to center of the rear axle. CB. Cab to body. Distance between back of cab to front of body. WB. Wheelbase. Distance from center of the front axle to center of rear axle. Example 1. Steer, 11,590. Drives, 34,700. Trailer, 32,100. Gross, 78,390. You scale your truck at a truck stop and receive your scale ticket. The slider rail hole spacing is 6 inches, which will move 400 pounds of weight per hole, and let's assume the steer axle weight won't change. What would you have to do in order to get your truck legal? Steer. 11,590 steer remains unchanged for this example. Drives. 33,900. Drives. 34,700 to 802 holes x 400 pounds each. Trailer. 32,900. Trailer. 32,100 to 802 holes x 400 pounds each. Gross. 78,390. Remains the same. Example 2. Steer. 11,320. Drives. 31,300. Trailer. 35,050. Gross. 77,670. You scale your truck at a truck stop and receive your scale ticket. The slider rail hole spacing is 4 inches, which will move 250 pounds of weight per hole, and let's assume the steer axle weight won't change. What would you have to do in order to get your truck legal? In this example, the trailer tandems are overweight 34,000 pound maximum by 1,050 pounds. Assuming each hole in the tandem slider rail moves 250 pounds, You would have to slide your trailer tandems toward the rear of the truck a minimum of 5 holes to transfer enough weight from your trailer tandems to your drive axles in order to get your axle weights legal. The end result would be approximately STIR 11,320. STIR remains unchanged for this example. Drives 32,550. Drives 31,300 plus 1,255 holes x 250 pounds each. Trailer 33,800. Trailer 35,050 to 1,255 holes x 250 pounds each. Gross 77,670. Remains the same. Trailer capacities 1. Maximum weight is 46,500 pounds per trailer 48 or 53. 2. 22 to 24 single stacked standard 48 by 40. Pallets in a 48 trailer. 3. 26 to 28 single stacked standard 48 by 40. Pallets in a 53 trailer. 4. Every 2 single stacked standard pallets take up 4 linear feet of truck space. Measurement calculations. 1. Compute cubic feet equals L times W times H times number of pieces, 1728. 2. Compute dimensional weight equals L times W times H times number of pieces, dim factor. 3. Convert kilograms to pounds equals number of kilograms x 2.2046. Pallets and configurations. Shipping and logistics managers all need to know the basics of loading a different trailers and sizes. Whether you have a 48-foot trailer or 53-footer, it will make a difference. If you have 40x48 skids, you have the choice of running them straight into the trailer, pinwheeling, or turning them all sideways. The following scenarios would apply. 48-foot trailer. 24 skids loaded straight into the trailer. 26 skids pinwheeled. 28 skids turned sideways. 53-foot trailer. 26 skids loaded straight into the trailer. 28 skids pinwheeled. 30 skids turned sideways.